Father God, tonight we come to your throne of grace to find mercy always to help in our time of need. And God, we ask you that you would touch each life that is represented here tonight, each and every circumstance of our lives. We thank you, God, that you watch over us and you protect us. But Father God, I also pray for our government tonight and the leadership of our government, that they would seek your wisdom, Lord God. They would be compelled by your Spirit to do so. And Father, I pray for our military and for those in law enforcement. God, I pray for your divine hand of protection over each and every one as they serve you and as they serve their fellow man. And I also pray, Father, for our church, Lord God. And even though we had a lot of hail here today, we also had something really beautiful, that your glory was here to just show us that you are King of over all creation and everything. And yet, Lord God, you protect us as well. And I pray also, Father, for those sick in our church family tonight, God, that you would protect them and watch over them and bring healing to them. And I pray for Vivian, Lord, with her toe to be operated on tomorrow. And I pray, God, that you would just bless that and make the surgery a success. And Father God, for Matt and for Steve as well. And I pray, God, that your hand, your divine hand, would not be shortened, but it could save and deliver. We thank you for all of these things, and I thank you for those that are here tonight. In spite of the weather, be glorified here in everything. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. And church, if you agree, say amen. And before you get seated, turn to the person next to you and say, cheer up, the Lord is on the throne. Hallelujah. And we have some birthdays today. Valerie Clark, from what I understand, her birthday is actually today, tonight. So you can send an email or text to her. And then Phyllis's birthday is at the end of this month, and that's good enough. Yeah. Okay, that's enough. Okay. Sunday will be my birthday, okay? Yes, I'll be 27. That's a dyslexia. Okay, so really got to reverse that. But anyhow, it's a blessing to be here tonight. And I thank God for that. I really do. I asked Peter during the service if he would be prepared to read out of Esther chapter 3, verse 13. You want to read that to us? Yeah. No, aren't you glad we studied all of that? Because God intervened. But you know what? That day is equivalent to today. So that's when the order was given. And yet, they didn't succeed. The enemy failed because God intervened with a woman who was put in a position such a time as this. And you know, in our lives, we have those moments as well, perhaps that God is working out things in our life. And I pray that we can measure up to that reality. And by the way, tonight, Tom, how many of those cards of encouragement do you have right now to go out there to the borders, roughly? Oh, you've already been sending them. Good. Praise the Lord. Well, thank you, those in the church family and those online as well. But it's really an encouragement for those law enforcement on the borders, and we've gotten an opportunity. We've had this opportunity now to be able to do that, and I thank God for that. And we continue to pray for that work out there. I do want to make mention tonight, open up your Bibles with me first to Leviticus 23. We're going to see a great film tonight. I really like this particular one. And I'm going to be introducing it along with the seven feasts of Israel. But in chapter 23 of Leviticus, beginning at verse 23 through 25, is the starting point for our text tonight. And it says in Leviticus 23:23, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest. a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. I want to read another passage, and it's actually in Numbers chapter 29, goes along with that passage, only it will tell us in more detail when the children of Israel were going through their wilderness journey and what they were told or commanded in the book of Numbers. So turn with me there, chapter 29. Numbers chapter 29, because over in this passage, we're given the details of what their offerings were to be. So a lot of people say, well, we're not underneath the old covenant. Well, that's right. Thanks be to God, we're in the new covenant. But I'll tell you something. People say, well, you know, how, they had to give to the Lord, but I can just do what I want. Really? Well, let me show you a little bit of what they were giving to the Lord, because this isn't their tithe. This is over and above. Look at this. In chapter 29, it's the same issue, except it's the details. And it says, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work. For you, it is a day of blowing the trumpets. Say, blowing the trumpets. Yeah. And you shall offer, so here's what was required. You shall offer a burnt offering as a sweet aroma to the Lord, one young bull, one ram, seven lambs in their first year, without blemish. And it says, their grain offering shall be fine flour mixed with oil, 3/10 of an ephah for the bull, 2/10 for the ram, and 1/10 for each of the seven lambs. And also one kid of the goats as a sin offering to make atonement for you, besides the burnt offering with its grain offering for the new moon, the regular burnt offering with its grain offering, and their drink offerings according to their ordinances, and as a sweet aroma, an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now, just imagine, they were on their wilderness journey. They're headed towards Canaan land. This is the new group of them, because the others perished. And they had a lot of deaths going on, but look at all of that sacrifice that went on. I have a Jewish man who lives not too far from me, and I talk to him about his Judaism a lot. And he doesn't practice it. He says, I keep the feast. I go, really? You keep all those feasts? He goes, no, no. And I go, really? Because it's pretty, it's a big requirement. And he goes, yeah, I don't participate in that. I go, really? Okay, well. Anyhow, tonight, thank you, Father God, for your word that is so revealing where our hearts are at times. But God, what the requirements were only led the way for Israel to understand that one day there would be a Messiah who would give it all. And you gave it all in your Son, Jesus Christ, to give us life, a hope, and a future. Thank you, God, for what you've done. And we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And church, if you agree, say amen. And so once again, you know, all of these areas of the feast, they're very interesting, but when you take the details of what they're actually observing, and then you take it over in Leviticus where it was commanded, then you go, oh my gosh, they really had to go through a lot. And by the way, it wasn't their cast-offs either. It wasn't the ones that were sick on the journey. That was not allowed to be given to God. It had to be the best of your herd. And, of course, so you can imagine all of these Jewish people carrying all this stuff and their animals of burden and all of their goods and their properties all headed from Egypt out of bondage to Canaan land. And, of course, where did they get most of that? Remember, they were in Egypt for how many years? Well, over 400 years, right? So they took and plundered the goods out of Egypt. And now God was saying, okay, now you're on your journey. I'm going to lighten your load. No, I'm sorry. Anyhow, so we've covered so far the Passover, unleavened bread, the first fruits. And I've told you in each one of these that they're all prophetic. And the Feast of Weeks was last week, or the Day of Pentecost. But tonight we go into the Feast of Trumpets, as it's also called Rosh Hashanah. And why is that? We'll see here in just a moment. But then we have Yom Kippur, and then we have Tabernacles. These last three have not had their fulfillment in Jesus yet, but they will. The others, again, all of these feasts are observed year by year, but they had a fulfillment portion in prophecy with Jesus. And now the Feast of Trumpets, the one we're going to look at here tonight, and I'm so excited about this one. I'm just waiting for it. In fact, when all the hail was coming down, I thought, this could be it. Well, I don't know what it's going to take, but as Pastor Todd had loaned to me his chart that he picked out of somewhere, but if you'll notice from the spring holiday feast over that gap, and then you get to the fall feast, and now we begin with the Feast of Trumpets, or Rosh Hashanah is the first one of these. And by the way, this is a part of the High Holy Days. This is one of the two highest, and yet it's very significant for us as a church, too, and as believers. So the Feast of Trumpets, as it's also referred to, but the biblical observance of this feast, in fact, we think of it, Feast of Trumpets, well, why do they call it Rosh Hashanah? Very good. Well, it literally means, Rosh Hashanah in Hebrew means head of the year. So this became the designation not originally applied to the feast until the 2nd century A.D. Now, at that time, more than 1,500 years after the institution of the holiday, it takes on new meaning. Why? The destruction of the temple in A.D. 70 was quite significant to this. And its observance of this particular day was altered as a result of it. After A.D. 70, the destruction of the second temple, the two observances became connected. And so in time, the Feast of Trumpets was largely overshadowed and assimilated literally by the Jewish New Year known as Rosh Hashanah. So that's why it's a Jewish New Year, the head of the year. And of course, this starts at the darkest time. The full moon's about ready to happen. And so it's getting ready for that. The time of Rosh Hashanah is observed in the autumn of the year. And so we might say, well, right now? Well, no, we got the other ones we're connected with. But on the Hebrew calendar, Rosh Hashanah occurs on the first day of Tishrei, the seventh Hebrew month, usually between September and October. So that's when it would normally show up. So it begins the fall feast. And so the observance of it is quite significant. In the Bible, the Feast of Trumpets, the record of it, was celebrated as a one-day holiday. But because of the diaspora, Jews scattered throughout the world, it's very hard for them to connect to know the actual day. So what's happened because of the diaspora, the dispersion, they actually celebrate it for 2 days. And so in Israel, they have theirs, and it used to be when they had their temple, they would have a Levite priest watching for the time period to start. Once that new moon started, he would blow the horn, and as a result, everybody would know when to start it. Well, that's a little hard to do that from Israel today, and they don't really do that anymore, but I imagine down at the Western Wall they do. And we'll see a little bit of that on the film tonight. But the reason is rooted in the uncertainty of the Jewish calendar. They're so important, these feasts, that they want to make sure that they're keeping it properly. But the record of Rosh Hashanah, or also known as the Feast of Trumpets, its observance we get from Leviticus 23:23-35, and then Numbers 29:1, which I shared with you. But the biblical record, we actually pick that up in the rest of Numbers, which I did read the part of it, the requirements for the burnt offerings and so on. But also in Numbers 28, verses 11 through 15, there's parts of that observance. And I read most of the parts for you tonight. But the actual observance, actually when we look in Scripture, we'll see it actually taking place in Ezra chapter 3, verses 1 through 6. And why there? Because it was reinstituted when the Jews were in the Babylonian captivity. Ezra was that Levite, and he took the first captives out of Babylon, headed back to Israel with him. And so this particular feast was celebrated there in Israel at that time. Nehemiah, I guess the women are studying Nehemiah. Am I right on that? Okay. Nehemiah in chapter 7. Verses 73 through chapter 8, verse 13, they also celebrate. And what happens then? It turns into a huge revival. And so there's some significance tied to this. It's not just the giving of their offerings. It's what it meant to them as well. And so they celebrated. Those are the only two times we actually see it being fulfilled in Scripture in that direct manner. But the modern observance today, or the Feast of Trumpets, is also referred to as the Days of Awe. And in Jewish tradition, there's a 10-day period from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur. And these are the two highest holy days. Okay, so why is that? Well, Jewish tradition says that during the 10-day period, starting at Rosh Hashanah, that what happens is the people must repent of their sins. Because if they get to Yom Kippur 10 days later and they haven't repented, they're going to be banished out of heaven. So it's pretty serious. And you can see why they say, hey, let's celebrate. Well, of course. But according to Jewish tradition, it's also understood as the Jewish New Year, the Feast of Trumpets, or the Rosh Hashanah. And the books are opened on Rosh Hashanah. So if we were observing this tonight and we were Jewish, then what would happen? We would know that the books of heaven are going to be opened. And that's a little scary, because if your name's not there, you're in trouble. As a matter of fact, David said in Psalm 69, verse 28, he said, "Let them be blotted out of the book of the living." So there is that one book of God called the book of the living, and there's the other book known as the book of life. Now, the book of life is for the wicked, the book of life for the righteous. So the book of the living, of course, we think of the terms of the righteous. We don't think of the other part. So there's a book of living for both. And God's going to open the books. And where's your name? I went to a meeting, a conference several years back. It was a conference put on by Chitwood and Chitwood, who do the work for nonprofits. And he says, you know, it's really important to have your name in the book. And he wasn't talking about the IRS book. He was saying, you want to make sure your name's not written in that book, but we got to check and make sure your organization is. And he passed it out, and he says, okay, everybody's name in this room is in that book as a legal nonprofit corporation. He says, that's good if you're going to operate a church. He says, but there's another book that's more important. That is the book of life with Jesus Christ. That's the one you really want to be in above all. So there's three books open, and the book of life for the wicked, the book of life for the righteous, and the book of life also called for the in-betweeners. What are they? They're the ones that better make up their mind in those 10 days, because they got 10 days before it's the end, so to speak. Now, there's a couple of extra thoughts I want to add to this particular time period. It's called the casting ceremony. The Rosh Hashanah ceremony would literally be a time where you cast off your sins. So it takes place in this 10 days. You must repent. And before you get to Yom Kippur, otherwise you're going to be under eternal judgment, so to speak. Now, at the Pool of Siloam and other places, Jews will gather during this 10 days from Rosh Hashanah to Yom Kippur, and they will cast their money out upon the water. And they pray for forgiveness, just as the Bible says he's moved our sins as far as the east is from the west, and he's cast them away from us. So they literally go through casting ceremonies. They do this in various places. Sometimes they'll gather around a lake or a river. But if you're in Israel, you're going to go down to the best place, the Pool of Siloam, and do it there. But the birthday of the world is also known at Rosh Hashanah. And the Talmud, the ancient rabbinical commentary, suggests in the month of Tishrei, the world was created. So many of the Orthodox Jews really look at Rosh Hashanah and they say, oh, this is not only the head of the new year, this is the head of the world. This is when the world began. And they also credit that the first man was created at Rosh Hashanah. And so they believe all of that, and it's part of their beliefs of Rosh Hashanah in the rabbinical commentary. Now, it's also known as the future fulfillment. It gets into the area of the Feast of Trumpets, but it also gets into Israel's dark day, which I just said. In other words, the Feast of Trumpets is a dark day in a sense. It's a day of joy, but it's only when you repent. So you're not allowed to get married during Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, those 10 days. You're not allowed, in fact, I don't know about funerals, but it's not time for joy, because that's really a sorrowful time, and it starts on Rosh Hashanah. But when they begin Rosh Hashanah, they're ready. I'm going to give up my sin. And so there is an excitement for that. A lot of, you know, there's Ash Wednesday, and that's not a popular day. We didn't celebrate it, or I didn't. But the point is, you see this attitude, though, I'm going to give all this stuff up, and I'm going to be made right with God. So that's what happens during that time. But they also knew it was the beginning time for the day of the Lord. It's going to be a serious time at Rosh Hashanah. But, so referring to, I got to come back to the Feast of Trumpets, the application of it, and here's the key part I want to give before the film. The word teruah literally means to make a loud noise. Okay, now normally I would have Pastor Todd blow the shofar tonight. However, we're going to see this in the film. It's done several times. And yet, it really is done in a way that he explains it, so it's pretty good, although Pastor Todd does a great job. But it's been instituted as a day of prayer or a wake-up call prior to the Day of Atonement. And so looking at its fulfillment, the application, it's quite significant. Many people see, as a dispensationalist, there are some people believe that Christians are going to be in the tribulation, and they often throw this at you. And if you get caught off guard, you won't know the difference. And they say the seven trumpets in Revelation, in chapters 8 through 10, they see the last trump that Paul is really speaking of in 1 Corinthians 15:52 as the seventh blast or the last trump. And they see that, so they're going to go, well, we're in the tribulation. No, we're not. As Chuck Missler would say, that is called mixed up theology that has nothing to do with our God. Of course, he's not alive today, but I can quote him. And it's really true because, you see, that is not the last and final trumpet. Tonight, in 1 Corinthians 15:51 and 52, I'll have to read it to you. You can write it down, look it up later, but you've heard this verse before. It says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump." Well, okay, last trump. We got that. And it says, "For the trumpet shall sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall all be changed." What is that verse referring to? It is a parallel connection to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. "For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up or snatched away from the earth together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord." Well, those two connect. The phrase trumpet of God appears only twice in the entire Bible. It appears in Exodus 19, where the giving of the law at Mount Sinai is recorded, and the second in mention of it is in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The connection right here biblically is the rapture of the church. So many prophetic scholars believe, and even those less than that, like me, who've studied prophecy for many years, believe that this will be the signal when this takes place, that there'll be the rapture of the church. Now, we don't know the day or the hour, obviously, but we do know that it's going to be in conjunction or in connection with this, because that's what the Bible says, that trumpet. So what is that trumpet? Well, it says you're going to hear the voice of an archangel when this happens, and there's going to be a shout from the Lord Jesus himself. Come up here, and we're gone. You know, just like he said, "And let there be light," there was. And so on that day, we're going to hear it, praise be to God. And I thought with the heavens pouring out this stuff today, and I go, this is not a good time for the rapture with all the stuff coming down. But he's going to call us up. So the type of trumpet that is expressed in Bible prophecy is referring to not the one of the heavenly judgment that's going to come, and that will come shortly thereafter. That would be the silver trumpets from the temple or the heavenly judgment trumpets. It's the shofar, the ram's horn, mentioned repeatedly in the Old Testament. The ram's horn has its institution, its point of origin, at the offering of Isaac. I bet you never thought of that. When Abraham, and I think that's on the film tonight too, when Abraham was ready to sacrifice his son. And of course, this was all to paint a picture of Jesus who would be that sacrifice. And he was interrupted. How? By a ram that was caught in the bushes there. And when the ram was caught in the bushes, it interrupted this. And of course, that ram. Now, you should know this. According to the ram, understood from a biblical perspective, the left horn is considered the first trump, and the second, or the right horn, is considered the last trump. So when that ram interrupted this whole thing, and God will provide a sacrifice himself, that was all to point to Jesus Christ. It's interesting that that all ties in to Rosh Hashanah, or this particular day. So it's referred to, from our standpoint, New Testament, it's referred to as, this will be the day of the rapture of the church. It prophetically speaks of it. Will it be on that exact day? I don't know. But I know it's going to, this particular feast points to it. So the rapture is clearly associated with it. And when that great trumpet sounds, the miracle to surpass all miracles will take place. The living believers will rise from the earth. And this will both be believers that are New Testament Christians who believe in Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, and the Jews who've come to faith in Jesus, that remnant that is coming to faith in many places around the world today and have been. And they'll all be raptured with us. But the rest of the Jews, they're going to be here for the tribulation period. They will not be taken up. And so they will be here. They're going to be in the tribulation as well as the 144,000. I have some friends in Israel, and people have asked them, are you part of the 144,000, because they know so much scripture? And they said, no way. If anything, I'm going into rapture. I'm not staying here with that tribulation. That's not meant for me. But the entire story of Exodus, the story of Passover, illustrates the salvation of the believer prophetically. So when the children of Israel were taken out, liberty was provided for them, and they were taken out of the bondage and everything. That liberty, by the way, you should know this, on our liberty bell, I don't know if you know this, but it's written in Old Testament. Nobody's taken it off of there yet, to my knowledge. But in the actual Liberty Bell, there's a passage that refers to Leviticus, and it refers to this time of the liberty that will be brought, the liberty that comes from God. And it's right there in the Old Testament scripture, is quoted right on the Liberty Bell. Some of the liberals are going to have a hard time getting that off of there. But the reality is, it's referring to the liberty. It goes back to Egypt, being resurrected, or you might say taken out of that, goes to the church. We are going to be delivered from this world, and we're going to the heaven of heavens with our Lord Jesus Christ. So that liberty is for you and I too. So the entire story of Exodus has its prophetic meaning as well tied into all of this. So our liberty bell, it's Leviticus 25:10. And so that is connected there on the liberty bell. And tonight we're going to hear a couple more things I'll say real quickly. One, he's going to mention the shamash, which is the servant candle at Passover. That particular one that sticks out of the menorah for Passover, well, it's considered the servant candle. Something I learned in this film tonight, and I never heard this before, it wasn't from Zola, but the lady guest that's with him, she says that servant candle is, reminds her when she grew up in Judaism, the synagogue had policemen, and what they were like our ushers, and they were policemen, and they watched over making sure the kids didn't run all around or tear things up or whatever, and they were policemen, and they are the shamash, or they are the servants. Well, in Romans chapter 13, verse 4, I'm often praying for those in law enforcement, because the Bible says in chapter 13, verse 4, that they are God's servants. Isn't it interesting? They're like the shamash. They are the ones that light all the other candles. They're the ones that make Passover happen. And yet we're going to see this part of it in this film tonight. And the third is Abraham's ram horn. I wrote that down. So tonight, we're going to jump right in and get to this film, so I'm really excited. The Feast of Rosh Hashanah, or it's also called what? Yes, the Feast of Trumpets. Okay, praise the Lord. I mean, that is just awesome, a lot of the details. By the way, all of those addresses and everything, those aren't available today. Okay, that was 25 years ago. But he has passed away, and there's new people who head up that organization. But to my knowledge, that's out of print. I do happen to have a copy because I got it back in the 70s. So In any case, I do need to apologize because I kept mentioning the Passover candle when I met the Hanukkah one, okay, with the servant branch that's out in front of it. Please stand. And what a blessing. So did you learn anything in that? It's awesome. I mean, that man, of course, he always said he wanted to go up in the rapture. That was his plan. But he didn't make that rapture. He made another one. He's before his Lord and Savior now. But what a man of God. He brought understanding of Judaism to the Christian world in so many areas. So, Father God, tonight I thank you for everything we've learned, and I thank you for your word, God, and just really the drawing of our hearts to Israel and the understanding of what we're waiting for now is not necessarily the same as the Jews. We're waiting for that shout. So God, I thank you that you're going to shout and that trumpet shall be blown, but we're going to be caught up together with you. And what a day that's going to be. So bless each one the rest of this week for your glory. In Jesus' name, amen.